I hope everyone's obeyed the Lord. If you hadn't, you sure had a good chance. Is God. How many loves the Lord here? Thank God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to say I appreciate the good revival the Lord's blessed us with, and every message Brother Randall's preached has been just right for us. And I just hope that we're obeying and living up to what he's preached to us, because climbing higher on this ladder of revival demands that we take care of the last rung. Amen. Instead of going back down, we need to keep on climbing. And I want us to do good. And I appreciate everybody that's brought stuff. Sister Jennifer brought us some of her good carrot cake. It's all mixed up together, but it's still carrot cake. It's very good, very good. And Brother Robert's been bringing us stuff out of his garden, even something called kohlrabi. And boy, I'm telling you, it was great. And of course, my wife's been cooking wonderful. I'll tell you, my wife is such a blessing. She is a wonderful pastor's wife, preacher's wife, and she is an excellent cook and works so hard for this church and for evangelists and preachers that come by. I can't speak highly enough of her. I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. I also want to thank you all, because y'all have been real good at coming out to the services, and I'm looking forward again to this revival going on. I have a burden on my heart this morning, and I pray that God would help me to preach this to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, this verse was on my mind and heart all day yesterday, and I just don't seem to be able to get away from it. Not that I want to get away from God's will, but you know, every once in a while, in revival, you like to just preach high Holy Ghost, believe God, let's have miracles type messages. But this is what I have on my spirit, and really in all reality, I think if we really get deeply, deeply moved and sincere and plowed up by God, there's no telling what miracles will happen. The Apostle Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 9 and 27, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." I just simply want to preach this morning on being a castaway. Would you reach your hand this way and ask God to help me? Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. You know how greatly I need you. You know how greatly this church, this congregation needs you right now. Lord, I pray for your spirit to work. Give us a great altar service. Change lives, Lord. Rescue people that's on the brink of backsliding, Lord. Pray you'd stir us all, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this two words, or this one word maybe, it says a castaway, is a Greek word, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but it means rejected or worthless, reprobate. And there are many people that are of the idea of the once in grace, always in grace, eternally secure no matter what is done, that the Apostle Paul used this word, castaway, to mean that You know, he was afraid that he would eventually become useless in his ministry. But that's not really the way he meant it. The Apostle Paul knew exactly what word he was using. For in Romans chapter 1 and verse 28, when he was talking about the downward spiral of society that rejects God, he used this same Greek word. And the translators of the King James Version does not translate it castaway, but reprobate, like it is most of the time in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul said, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. That's a society that so totally went away from God, rejected God. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. And therefore, all of this happened to where that God gave them over to a reprobate mind. I believe Paul was saying, I know God, but I want to glorify him as God. Because if I don't, I myself can become a reprobate. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul said to the church, even as I'm speaking to you all, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Now, if Jesus is not in you, you're rejected. You're a castaway. You're a reprobate. That doesn't mean you can't get saved or something like that in this context here, but it means that you're rejected by God, refused by the Lord. It's obvious that the word reprobate is connected with a society that's turned away from God, that does not think right. It's also connected with people who go to church who really don't have Jesus in their heart. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 8, the Apostle Paul is talking about signs of the end time and speaking of false teachers. He said, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate, same Greek word there, reprobate, cast away concerning the faith. These false teachers are cast away, reprobate. Now please pay attention to what I'm saying here this morning. It is a very serious thing that I'm trying to get across to you. The Apostle Paul realized how dangerous it was to play around with salvation. When people are reprobate, they're rejected concerning the faith. They have corrupt minds. They resist the truth. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 16, this verse here represents the majority of church people that go to church on many Sundays in the United States. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable. That's something hated. Being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. Listen, folks, when people claim to know God and by their works deny him, God can't stand that. And not only can he not stand it, the Bible says they're cast away. They're reprobates. In Hebrews 6 and 8, it talks about the heart of a person. It says, but that which is that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected. The word rejected is the same word for castaway or reprobate, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Paul was looking at his own life and he realized that the very worst and most horrible state that he could imagine could happen in his own life. And so therefore he was very careful. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I myself should be given over to this type of mind. I myself would resist the truth, forsake the faith. I myself would be accursed. Listen, there's a possibility, or he wouldn't have said it that way. And every person here needs to take into account that there is that possibility. Even though the Apostle Paul was converted in the most miraculous way, going to Damascus intent upon sin, Jesus interrupting all of that and coming down and making a personal appearance to him and saving his soul in a manner that just is amazing. Even with that experience, he said it's possible. Even though he had had a commission, not by a preacher, not by Peter, not by James, not by just praying and feeling it in his own spirit and soul. He had a commission from the very lips of the resurrected and glorified Christ to go and preach the gospel. And yet he said it's still possible that I myself could be a castaway. He had great revelations. Christ took him aside and taught him according to Galatians chapter 2. He had amazing miracles to the point at one place where the people were even taking handkerchiefs from his body and going and laying them on the sick and laying them on the demon possessed, and demons were leaving and healings were taking place. And yet he said, I myself could be a castaway. He had an amazing miracles, an amazing ministry, traveling and establishing churches, hundreds and thousands of people coming to Christ, and he had sacrificed greatly. You can read his sacrifice in 1 Corinthians 15, that place that many people quote. I mean, there's a truth they're trying to promote where he says, I die daily. You know what he's saying? I risk my life every day. Now, Jesus said, take up your cross daily. But when Paul said, I die daily, he wasn't talking about dying to the flesh. He was saying, I am in danger every day of my life. Even though he risked his life, he still saw a greater danger than the Jews, a greater danger than the Romans, a greater danger than the shipwrecks and the beatings and the stonings, a greater danger than all of these things. You know what it was? It was his own self. Here you see, there's a probability. It's not only possible, it's probable. It's not only possible, but it's probable. You see, it's like this. There's a natural degeneration about things in this world. In order for a field to give forth a fruitful harvest of corn or wheat, do you have to work it? If you do nothing to a field, what happens? What grows? Field, amen, without any work to it, it produces weeds and briars and different stuff that's not productive. I'm just going to tell you, that's the way your heart is. That's the way my heart is. If we do not take care of our experience with God, I'll just tell you what you'll have in your heart. Next week, you will have weeds. You will have briars. You'll have a heart that's full of sin. Amen. Oh, yes. There's an old book called The Call of the Wild, written by a humanist. I'm not recommending it, but the way he does it is he shows that this dog that becomes a pet and a loyal pet to this master all of a sudden starts running with the wolves, and the wild nature and the dog starts coming out. until he becomes more loyal to the wolves and the wolf pack than he does the master in the end. Listen, friend, there's a wild nature. If you get to running with the wolves, amen, it'll bring it out, friend. Amen, you get to running with Hollywood by watching their movies. You get to running with country music by listening to its theme. You run with rock and roll stars by listening to their hellish things that they speak out of their mouth. I'll tell you what, it's going to turn you wild here in just a little while. Amen. I'm not telling you not to be friends with the world or sinners or anything, but there is a certain level of fellowship that you cannot get involved in, my friend. Amen. You run with your friends that are wild. It'll bring out that wild nature as well. And I'll just tell you the truth. If you get around a bunch of gossiping church people that's all the time downing everybody and talking about everybody, it can bring out that wild tongue in you as well. You'd better be careful, my friend, who you hang around. You better be careful. Amen, because the truth of the matter is there's a wildness and the spiritual nature of man will degenerate. We are prone to chaos. Amen, there is a work of salvation, yes indeed, but we have to continue to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen, worldliness will grow. Carnality will grow in the heart of the spiritually lazy. You can be diligent, hardworking, take every bit of overtime your job gives you, be the man that everybody depends upon or the woman that everybody depends upon to get the job done. And let me tell you something, just because you're hardworking that way don't mean you're diligent about your soul. Spiritually lazy people go to hell eventually. You listen to me. Spiritually lazy people go to hell. You say, well, I can miss church, I can miss praying, I can miss my Bible reading, I don't have to do all that. That's just for preachers. That's only for those that really want to be spiritually and used of God. Let me tell you something. If you want to go to heaven, you got to keep your heart. And if you don't want to go to heaven, just let the weeds grow up. You know what? The only thing you have to do to go to hell is neglect salvation. How shall we escape? The author of Hebrews says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You don't have to crucify Jesus. You don't have to spit on him. All you have to do is neglect. Neglect and neglect and neglect until you're lost. Great Lord, I wish that the Spirit of God had helped me right here. Amen. When Judas was amongst the disciples, I want to remind you that he prayed for the sick and they were healed. He cast out demons, and there probably are people in heaven right now that Judas preached to when he was with the 70 and when he was with the 12 and when they came back rejoicing that even the demons, amen, were subjected to them. Amen. And Jesus said, rejoice not that the demons are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. Listen, friend, Judas had a ministry. And I do not know how that it happened, but just like Peter, James, and John had the call, follow me, and they left their nets and followed him. And just like Matthew heard Jesus say, follow me, and he got up from the receipt of customs and followed him. Judas was doing something one day, and Jesus said, follow me, and he forsook it all. He gave it all up. And they all trusted him and gave him the bag. And when Jesus said, one of you shall betray me, they didn't say, I know who that is. They said, Lord, is it I? It's like they mistrusted themselves more than they mistrusted him. And even after Jesus gave him the sop and said, that thou doest do quickly, and he went out, you know what they thought? They thought that Jesus had told him to go buy something.
They did not suspicion Judas. They heard him pray. They heard him preach. They saw him pray for the sick. They saw demons tremble when he said, "In the name of Jesus, come out." And he's in hell right now. He's in hell right now. Oh, God. Demas was a companion of the Apostle Paul. Amen. And even Paul talked about him being a fellow laborer, but he's lost. Solomon was a prophet's son, a man of God himself that wrote scriptures that were inspired of God that we still learn from. Amen. And yet, if he went to heaven, he must have repented right before he died. Listen, folks, we can't get all high and mighty here. Oh, God. Amen. There needs to be a certain honesty about every one of us. Amen. And realize that the possibility is not only of being a castaway, but if we let our hearts go, who knows what evil could they, what evil could every heart here be possible of? We let our hearts go. Amen. There's got to be a prevention. Now, it's not just by working for God, for the Apostle Paul did not say, "I'm going to keep on preaching." He said, "Lest while I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." Amen. So there are some people that's got busy working for God and didn't keep their relationship with God up enough to where that they could stay right with God. And so I'm preaching to you, just because you're busy doing something that seems to be Christian work does not mean that there's not weeds growing up in your heart and spirit and soul. Oh, oh, God. Oh, God. You got to be a humility, a self-denial, a self-discipline, a subjection to authority, an accountability, an understanding that we are under the authority of God. A friend, I believe Paul understood the potential judgment if he was. Hidden sin will be exposed. One day. Sometimes it's not in this world. But I'll tell you what. It will be one day. I was preaching one fellowship meeting for a preacher, and I came down one night off the side, and he's standing there backing me preaching, and I called his name and said, "Are you thinking about backsliding?" It came out of my mouth so quick, his face turned white. He fell in the altar and prayed just a little while. We all had so much confidence in him that nobody really prayed with him too much. A couple weeks later, he left his wife. Listen, folks, you say, "That'd be embarrassing." Be more embarrassing before all the holy angels and all the apostles and every church member that's ever been saved. For the multitudes, it'd be more embarrassing right then than right now. It could be a mercy right now. It could be something that brings people to repentance right now. God will expose sin, folks. He will. There's a loss of good influence. You know, I realize that we don't have ice that just comes and stays, but have you ever seen an icicle form and get bigger and bigger? If the water that's going there, you know, it can be a very beautiful thing. Nice, clear, almost like a frozen gem. In the light of heaven shine on it, can be a sparkling, dazzling thing. It's just a little muddy water get in that. It'll be a dark,
thing formed, drip by drip, until it just looks like a muddy, horrible looking ornament. That's the way our lives are. Little by little, we form who we are. And if it's pure, it can be a dazzling, glorious, beautiful thing, especially if God's glory shines through it. But if there's a taint of sin, there, I'll just tell you the truth, the carnality, the hatred, the bitterness, it'll all show through eventually. Friend, there is going to be an exposure of sin one day, but it is also a certain influence that is lost when people, are reprobate in their experience. There's a loss of trust when people have this sin in their lives. But most of all, I must warn you and realize that there is an eternal loss, an eternal judgment that comes. In Luke 9 and 25, Jesus asked this question, "For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away?" And the Apostle Paul, looked into the gaping mouth of hell and looked at what judgment there was for people that die lost. And he said, "I don't want to go there. And so I just got to keep myself. I got to stir myself. I got to be careful. I got to continually put things in perspective. I got to lift Jesus high. I got to bring sin low. I got to be very careful and keep my fear of God intact." Some of my greatest fear, and I've prayed it many times over my children, "Oh God, I don't want them to just be raised in church and love the culture of church and love the culture of holiness. I want them to love church. I want them to love holiness. But I don't want them to be cultural Christians. I do not want them to just be hanging around because this is where their friends are, because this is how they've learned to fellowship with people. I want them to be saved. I want them to be right with God. And what I'm afraid about you boys here, I got confidence in you boys, but listen, if I'm afraid for my own boys, I'm afraid for you boys. And I'm afraid for these girls. It's possible to be raised in church and never really have an experience with God that changes your life. Oh, yes. It's possible to go to the house of God, even do the things of God. Listen, I'm proud of you for everything you do, but you can sing in a choir and go to hell. You can sing specials in church and go to hell. You can preach messages and go to hell. You can pray around the altar and go to hell. I'll just tell you the truth. It's not going to be the right spirit, but you can speak in tongues and go to hell. Amen. But I'm just going to tell you right now, it doesn't have to be. Because with the Apostle Paul's fear, it was not a tormenting thing. Where the devil robbed him of his faith. He just said, "Lord, I want to be careful. I realize what could happen to me if I let myself go." It don't have to happen. Oh, glory be to God. Oh, glory be to God. I'll just tell you right now, folks, it doesn't hurt to have a good self-examination from time to time. I'm not talking about where the devil torments you and takes away your faith. I'm just saying where you go in love to God and say, "God, I wouldn't want anything in my heart it'd be displeasing to you. As far as I know, there's nothing there. But Lord, if there is, please show me. I don't want to go on playing the fool, Lord.
I don't want to go on being so foolish. I want to be real. I don't want to be rejected. I don't want to be a reprobate. I don't want to be a religious person that don't think right, do right. I don't want to talk about knowing God and by my works and my judgments and the things I do, amen, deny Him. Oh, God. I want to live holy before His eyes. When He examines me, I want to be pure and sanctified. Great Lord in heaven, there is a hell. Do you understand that? There is a hell that people will be tormented forever and ever that are rejected. And the fact is, there is no hope. There is hope now. There is no hope then. Could we all stand? Great Lord in heaven, great Lord in heaven, I pray, dear God, if this dedicated, godly man named Paul had to be careful, Lord, oh, can we fool around? No. Dear God, get a hold of our spirits and souls. I plead the blood against every lie of the devil. I plead the blood against every self-righteous, foolish attitude that does not recognize the need of self-examination. Lord, touch us and stir us. Oh, God, I pray for an earnestness. I pray, dear God, for sincerity. Wake up our worldly people, Lord. Wake up our half-hearted, lukewarm people, Lord. If this red-hot, on-fire for God apostle that was so faithful, so dedicated, so sacrificial, had to be careful, oh, Lord, let us watch our steps. Lord Jesus, move upon us. I praise you, Lord, and worship you, and thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, folks, I just tell you, this has been on my heart. I am so stirred about this. I prayed about it for myself. I thought, well, Lord, are you dealing with me? And the more I prayed about it, thought about it, I just felt like I needed to preach it to you all. I want to ask you, really? Are you really sincere about going to heaven? Do you take it serious? Is it a fearful thing to disobey God? Is your heart really right with God? Listen, if you're a sinner here this morning, I want to lift up Jesus as high as I can, because He's the only way we're going to go to heaven. It's not by works, it's only through Christ. But you have your faith in Christ, you're going to have a life that follows along with it. And so I ask you here this morning, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, please. I realize that there needs to be a self-examination of everybody. But is there someone here, say, brother, I need to get right with God. Would you raise your hand right now? I need to get right with God. I do not in any wise want to gamble with my soul one more day, one more moment. I want to trust Jesus. God bless you, buddy. Anybody else? Anybody else? I don't want to gamble, not another minute. I want to really, really, really be right with God. I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want everybody to just think I am. I want to know I am. I want God to know I am. I want everybody to know I am. Back a couple years ago, we had a young lady stand up and just say, She didn't know if her mom went to heaven or not. Listen, we don't want to have a question mark on anybody's life. If you raised your hand, you want to solidify this commitment, come on up here right now. Be bold enough to say, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to make a public statement that I am going to serve God. Come on right now. Come on. Come on. That's it. That's it. God bless you. Praise God. Come on over here, Brady. God bless him. Amen. Is there anybody else that say, I'm tired. I just barely. I want to go all the way for God right now. Come on. Come on right now. In the name of Jesus.